you. It's been an excellent ride, and it's just my prayer that he gets all the glory through what I share. So as I share my story, I'll frame it with some specific scripture that's been really important to me throughout my life. And I do that because this book, it's alive and active, right? It's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it's as real and true today as it was the day it was first written, the day it was first printed. Like, it is alive. And so I want to show you how it's impacted me. And as I look back on my 40 years of being on this earth, it's so obvious to me that God is in control, that he knows the details of our lives, and he's weaving those details together to create a beautiful story. So it's been really fun to look back and see and remember the ways that God has been teaching me, the way he's been weaving people into my life to bring me to where I am today. So it's just a beautiful story of his omniscience and omnipotence. And I'd also like to share some of the lessons I've learned about missions, local and overseas, as I share. So first I want to start with every missionary's favorite passage. Just two short verses that seem short, but they change everything. The very ending of the book of Matthew, Matthew ends with Jesus' words as he looks at his disciples that are gathered, and he says this. This is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus left his disciples, us, with this command, go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Notice he doesn't necessarily say go overseas or go to foreign lands. And something that's really cool about living in America today is the world is here. You know, you don't have to go far to meet people from other parts of the world. And so this command really is for us today, even if you never leave Hastings. This command can be true. So I love that. And I also love the promise that he includes here. His presence will be with us always. And that makes all the difference. So in my childhood, I knew that God was real and powerful at an early age. I was born right here in Pennock Hospital, grew up in Hastings. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I grew up in a Christian home, but God was pulling at me early on. When my parents, we would just sporadically go to church. On the weekends when they wouldn't go, a neighbor lady would come and pick me up and take me to church with her. And so learning about the Old Testament stories on the flannel graph, you know, I loved hearing those stories of God's power. And so when I think about that woman who was so faithful to pick me up every Sunday and bring me to church when my parents wouldn't, I just want to encourage you that there's no way to know the impact that obedience to God will have in the kingdom. There's no way to know. When we're in heaven, it'll be fun to hear those stories of the actions we took, the faithfulness we had, and how they impacted others. But just please be encouraged by that today. God is using your obedience today. I was baptized the weekend I graduated from Hastings High School. I saw that as like a significance, like I was being commissioned to go and live for him, even though my knowledge of scripture, my spiritual maturity was very shallow still, but my faith was strong. And I was really blessed that God was really protecting me. He put me into a really solid college ministry at Grand Valley State University. College missions is so important. If you know anybody working with college-age students, pray for them, encourage them, support them, because it's at that time when somebody is away from home for the first time, they're making huge decisions that are going to impact their future life. It's just so important to have those seeds of God's word planted in their hearts. And I was so blessed to be a part of a really strong campus ministry at Grand Valley. We had Bible studies all the time. We went on missions trips. We had fun sightseeing also. And one of the parts of my story that really has a huge impact was we attended a conference. Back then it was called One Day. Today it's called Passion. Ever heard of Passion? It's a huge ministry for college students. Today they gather in Atlanta at their big dome where the Falcons, right, play? Anyway, that's not important. But it's a huge event. Louis Giglio really is one of the big movers behind it. But back when I attended in 2000, we were in the countryside outside of Memphis at Shelby Farms, this huge thousands of acres of beautiful farmland. And we camped there. We heard many great concerts. We heard many great speakers. And it was there that I heard John Piper give his Don't Waste Your Life sermon. He wrote a book about the message he gave that day. If you have never heard this, look it up. On Desiring God, they even have a short synopsis of it, like a 7-minute clip that you can find. It is life-changing. It's called Don't Waste Your Life. And the purpose of his, or the point of his message, was to encourage all of us, thousands of college students there, to encourage us not to just live for the American dream. He reminded us that someday we will stand before God and account for what we've done for him. So do I want to present to God, God, here's my car and my house and my picket fence and my 2.5 kids? He was trying to encourage us to see, no, you want to present to God the service you've given him, the things that have more of an eternal, lasting impact. And it was totally life-changing for me. At the end of the sermon, John Piper had an altar call, and he encouraged people who felt a pull towards missions to go forward. So again, that was back in 2000. I was not even 21 yet when that happened, but something compelled me forward. And I remember walking forward in that huge crowd and praying that God would use me in the mission field somehow. And it wasn't until 2010 that I actually went on the mission field for the first time. But it was those seeds that were planted way back then that led me to where I was. So this kind of brings me to a scripture that I also love to study. It's from the book of Isaiah, and it's about his call. Do you remember back when Isaiah receives his call from the Lord? It's in a vision. And in this vision, he sees God, he sees the Lord on a throne. It describes his robes are like filling the temple. And there are all these angels, the seraphim, are worshiping him. They're singing, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty," right? And Isaiah's there watching this. And the Lord asks a question. He says, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" Do you remember Isaiah's response? He's like, "Here I am, send me," right? He doesn't say, "Question God, who are these people? Where will I go? Where will I sleep? Where will I live? How will I earn a living?" He doesn't say, "I'll go, God, after I finish my schooling, after I save in my 401k, after I get married." Like, he doesn't put conditions on it, right? He's like, "Here, I am here, send me." See the application for us? Like, Isaiah responds to God with clarity and conviction. God wants us to be willing to live for him, willing to answer his call. So the first step that any missionary, any disciple really, needs to take is to have an open heart, to have a willingness to follow God's call wherever it may lead. Isaiah had no idea the hardship that he would face in his ministry for the Lord. But there he is. "Here I am. Send me," right? So that moment on that hillside in Tennessee was kind of my Isaiah moment. I didn't know where God would send me or what would happen with that, but I knew that I wanted to follow him. I knew I wanted my life to give him glory. And then I got back to Grand Valley to finish my senior year of college. And there was a song that truly impacted me at that time. I would use it as kind of my time of prayer and worship as I would drive to my student teaching in Holland, Michigan. It's a song that was really popular back then, and again, it kind of shows my age, but it's Hands and Feet by Audio Adrenaline. Do you know the song? It goes like this. I'll be your hands, I'll be your feet. I'll go where you send me, I'll go where you send me. And I'll try to touch the world like you touched my life, and I'll find my way to be your hands. So that song became my daily prayer as I would drive to my student teaching in the morning. But it's a dangerous song to sing, right? Because it's dangerous. God may call us to be his hands and feet in a place we don't really want to go. He may call us to be his hands and feet in uncomfortable situations. But remember his promise in Matthew? I will be with you, right? He will be with us. So after all that praying, all that worship, guess where God sent me? Right back here. Yeah, he's funny. So I spent that summer after I graduated interviewing all over the state of Michigan for a teaching job. And it ended up, I was offered a job right back here teaching at Hastings High School. So So I never expected that, but I love teaching high school students. Pray for our teachers. They have such an impact. And I loved encouraging the students I knew who were believers. I loved being a light in the darkness for students who didn't know him. And I really saw it as my mission field. Room D209 was my classroom. That was my mission field. So then how did God send a teacher from Hastings, Michigan to China? It was a really long and exciting story, but to boil it down, only in a way that God can. He so obviously laid out my call to go. It was beautiful. Only God could do that. And it all started with a short-term mission trip. So in December of 2009, I finished my master's degree in education, and I remember very clearly, it was January 2010, a Friday, a coworker at lunch asked, "Hey Martha, you finished your degree. Good job. What are you going to do with your summer?" Because I'd always spent my summers taking graduate classes, writing those papers, doing those projects, and all of a sudden I had a free summer. And as a single woman without kids, I really had a free summer. So I remember the next Saturday morning just spending a lot of time in prayer. God, I have like 2 months without any responsibilities. Use those 2 months. Show me what to do with them. And I got a very clear answer very quickly. The next day, I went to church at Ada Bible Church in Grand Rapids. I'd just been attending there like a month. And I walk in, I grab the bulletin from the usher, and I sit down in the seat. And as I'm looking through the bulletin, it was kind of like there was a neon sign in the bulletin. It said, English teachers wanted to go to China for the summer. I'm an English teacher. I have summertime off. Yeah, it was really clearly meant for me. So I went to China with them in the summer of 2010. For 3 weeks, we were in a very remote village. And I say village, they called it a village. It was not that small of a town, but a very remote part of the country in southwest China. We were there on a team of about 15 other Americans, and we were working with Chinese middle school teachers, helping them practice their English, teaching them American culture, things like that, classroom management, things like that. And really, what we were there for was to help the Chinese missionary build connections with these teachers. That's really what we were doing. It was such a powerful month of my life. Never will forget it. I loved it so much that during spring break of 2011, I went back to China for 10 days and did some more mission work then. And then the next summer rolled around and I went again to work with those teachers again. So from July to July, I went to China 3 times. They say that short-term mission trips impact the person going more than the people you serve. And that is totally true. Yes, we had an impact. Yes, the local missionary was able to make connections with the people there and things. But God changed my life so much through that time. He showed me so much about himself. He showed me how faithful he was. He showed me how big his world is. And God also showed me practical things. Like, I can survive in a place where I can't speak the language. Language isn't a big deal to God, right? Not at all. He created them. He's big enough to overcome any kind of problem that I would put in, that I could imagine would be a problem. So anyway, came back teaching from my very last year at Hastings High School, very obviously feeling that I was meant to go longer term. And through a lot of amazing God things, he sent me dreams, he sent me missionaries and just other people who would just say the exact right thing I needed to hear to encourage me to really commit for long term. The last thing that really wore down my excuses of not going full time, it was God's word that really ended up taking out any excuse I had. One excuse I had was a big one, I thought, was that I didn't feel equipped to be a missionary. I didn't feel equipped to know everything in this huge book. I didn't feel equipped to be able to talk about God's word and God's truth to people. I felt fine teaching English. No problem, I got that covered. But the more important stuff, that's what I was nervous about. And there was one little verse that erased all my fears, of course, one little verse. It's in the book of Acts, in chapter 4. What's happening here is Peter and John are just completely filled with the Holy Spirit, doing some amazing things. They go to the temple, they heal a crippled man. Peter gives this awesome sermon that gets them arrested. And the next day, they're standing in front of the high priest. And again, Peter, the word says he's filled with the Spirit. And he's able to articulate God's truth in this powerful way to them. And this is the verse that did it all to me. It's Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." It's not a degree. It's not years of reading the Bible necessarily that equip you to be God's minister, God's missionary. It's time with Jesus that equips you for that. Yeah. They were untrained. They healed. They preached. The same Holy Spirit that empowered them to do those things lived in me, lives in you. God can equip us to do the things that we're the most terrified to do. So I was really getting convinced, but there was one thing holding me back. Finances, big time. I didn't want to raise support. There's no way I thought that God could equip me to ask people for money to go overseas. I was terrified that I would fail before I even tried. But again, God's word wore me down. And it was not a coincidence in God's eyes, but through a sermon I heard, personal Bible study that happened in the same week, and a small group. All three of them presented the story of Elijah in 1 Kings, like chapter 16 and 17. If you remember that part, Elijah is like running away from the persecution he's afraid of. He's in the desert. Do you remember how God brings him food? Through the ravens. Like, God makes birds that are scavengers bring food to the sky in the desert. Wow. God can provide. And then God sends him to this other land. And when he gets there, he doesn't send Elijah to the richest person around. He sends Elijah to a poor widow. Remember what the widow was doing? She told him, it's me and my son. I have this much flour, this much oil left. I'm going to make our last meal, and then we're going to die, right? Because we have nothing left. But what does God do? He refills her flour and her oil. It never runs dry. So again, through that story, God was showing me that he will provide. He is the great provider, and he will, just like he did for Elijah in the desert and with the widow, he can provide for me. And provide he did. I never had to worry about finances in my time in China. I was fully funded. Praise the Lord. God is truly amazing. So God provided me with an awesome company. It was called ELIC, English Language Institute China. And what they do is they send They send Christian teachers from America and Canada specifically to China to teach at universities. And again, just like campus ministry had a huge impact on me, it's that same concept. They're away from home for the first time, they're finding out who they are. So to have a Christian teacher planting seeds in their life at that time just makes a huge impact. And so I was placed on a team of four other teachers, other people from all around America, and we were teaching at Ludong Dashui, Ludong University in Yantai, China. Ever heard of it? It's only a city of 5 million people. It's crazy. I don't know. It's crazy. Huge, huge city. I was there from 2012 to 2015. And in those 3 years, I experienced so many miracles, and God taught me so much. So I'd like to take a short break and show you a video from my second year in China. I was there for three. And in the Chinese culture, relationship is everything. So that second year, after being there for building relationships with my students for two whole years, that second year was so fruitful. It was amazing. God was he still is moving, even though it's harder now. There's a lot more persecution now than when I was there. But in this video, there's four parts. The first part just kind of summarizes some of the different outreaches and some of the Bible studies that we were leading. The next part introduces you to some of the believers. So these were, most of them are women, I think, in that part, yeah. They were all believers before, students who knew the Lord already, and I was just there encouraging them and discipling them to grow stronger. The third part shows people who became Christians that year, who accepted the Lord that second year I was there. And the last part shows students who I was pouring into a lot, spending a lot of time with them, sharing God's word with them, and just praying that they would accept the Lord. So as you watch, please grab onto a couple names. These are real people. You'll see their English names mostly, not their Chinese names. But please pray for them. Please keep praying for them. So here we go, my second year of China.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. And I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you lead me. Will you lead me, Lord? I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher. will be yours, oh, I will be yours for all my life. Mm. I will be yours, oh, I will be yours for all my life, so let your mercy. Oh.
Busy. But it was amazing. So there are three big things that I want to emphasize that I took away from my time overseas. Number one is a truth from Scripture, and like always, God says it better than I could. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the time when Paul is writing to the believers in Corinth, and he's trying to clear up something really, really important. And this was one of the biggest things that I learned in my time overseas, that we're a team, that no one person should ever get the glory, that God uses us as a team to bring his word, to bring his hope into people's lives. So I'm going to read a couple of verses here, chapter 3, starting in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "When one of you says, 'I am a follower of Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' aren't you acting just like the people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building." The people who were sending those faithful monthly checks were just as significant in the conversion of those people as I was on the field. It's a team, it's a group effort. I like the way it was worded in the bulletin. Some people grow, some people sow, right? Yeah, it's hard to feel connected when you're supporting an overseas missionary, but you are so connected when you're supporting an overseas missionary. It's so vital that you're enabling them to be there. It's so vital. Just like I said before with my neighbor lady taking me to church, we never know the impact of our obedience on this earth. You know, your faithful giving monthly, once a year, whatever it is, your faithful prayers, those are so impactful, so important. Another thing that overseas missions really taught me very obviously is another concept that's talked about in the Bible, how we're foreigners here on this earth. We are not citizens of this earth. This is not our home. This is not our final destination. In China, I was very physically, obviously, an outsider. As you could see in the pictures, you can always pick out Martha, right? Yeah. Yeah. And that was a daily occurrence. Every time I would leave my apartment, even though I was in a big city, people weren't used to seeing light skin, blonde hair, blue eyes. Old ladies, every week, old ladies would come up and rub my skin. People on the bus would try to touch my hair, things like that. You kind of feel like a celebrity because random strangers would come up and take their picture with you all the time. So I was obviously an outsider. But when you go to a place where you don't belong, you see things about the culture that you wouldn't see if you're a part of it. So it really opened my eyes to that concept that I don't belong here, that we don't belong here on this earth. Yes, we're meant to live here and invest here, but this isn't the end. It also showed me, along that same line, how I read Scripture through my Western eyes and how much my culture taints the way I read this book. Yeah, I don't know, that's a big issue. And then another huge thing that I learned from my time in China was the vital importance of prayer and keeping that lifeline open to God all the time. Every time I left my apartment, I was in a foreign land, and I was completely dependent on his safety to get me back at night, you know? And every time I would leave, I would, "Lord, give me the language ability to understand and communicate. Lord, give me friendly faces to connect with when I'm out there." Whatever it was a constant prayer. And also, because I was there for God, I was always in connection with him for direction. What do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to say? Who do you want me to talk to here? Because again, I knew I was on mission because I didn't belong there. So that was always on my forefront, the forefront of my mind. So not everyone has a call to overseas ministry, right? The place Jesus commands some people to go is right here in our hometown. So what can people do who are called to stay in our own culture? How can we support overseas missionaries? The life of an overseas missionary is very, very lonely. Like, yes, I had friends. I had a team. I'm so thankful for them. But when I would come home in the summers, it was impossible to put into words what my life was like there. And that caused division between me and my friends and family here. I'd come back in the summers, and it was like, oh, their life carried on without me, you know? They had experiences that I wasn't around for. I had experiences they weren't around for. So there was always kind of a division between me and my friends. Not on purpose, but it's just natural. Another struggle that missionaries on sabbatical or home leave have is that they feel like an outsider in their own culture. You know, like we're supposed to feel like we belong here, but we don't, because our half of our heart is in the place we just left. Like the life of a missionary truly is having your heart split. So reassimilation seems impossible. So pray for them. Send them short emails. Send them long emails. Send them packages. Remember their birthdays. Financially support them. That's my biggest piece of advice. And have grace for them, because it's not easy coming back, whether it's for a short time or a long time. So skipping over a ton of my story, the last semester I was in China in 2015, God made it really clear that the next chapter of my life was to study. And there were two options that I clearly had: either study Mandarin and stay in China forever, or come back to the States and go to seminary, and then more doors would be open, whether it was going back to China to keep discipling or if it was another course of action. In the end, I ended up in Chicago going to Moody Theological Seminary. So I was in Chicago from 2015 to 2018. God really used Chicago to help me a lot. My very first class at Moody, the first person who sat down next to me was Chinese. I found the perfect job for me, working in Chinatown at a Christian community center teaching English. Perfect job for me. Absolutely loved it, and absolutely loved my time at Moody. I lived in Chinatown for about a year and a half. It was just perfect for me to reacclimate to the U.S. But it was my plan all along to just go to seminary 2 years, head back to China. But that wasn't God's plan. Again, remember, Isaiah doesn't ask a lot of questions. He just goes. So God called me back to Hastings, actually, never where I expected to come, for some family issues. And at first, I saw them as an inconvenience. Like, you know, this is interfering with my ministry, you know. Eventually, God showed me that there can be ministry here too, even in my own family. I had the wrong frame of mind. You know, again, my mission field isn't necessarily just one place, it's wherever I am. God would provide work for me to do here. So I worked at Salvation Army for about 6 months up in Grand Rapids. And it's funny, again, the details, God prepares us for our next step, even when we don't know it. I didn't like that job, it wasn't right for me, but the things I learned there, I use at Family Promise every day. Managerial, like organizing a department. I was a teacher, I could organize a classroom, but bigger picture things, or like business things, I couldn't do. So God used that job to really equip me for Family Promise. And when the position here at Family Promise came around, totally apprehensive, knew that I wasn't really prepared for all the responsibilities, but applied, and God really made the green light clear that that's what I was supposed to do. So I just celebrated my first year at Family Promise, and there are so many things I love about that ministry. When somebody asks me, what is Family Promise? My sentence spiel is, we're a community response that provides temporary housing and personalized mentoring to families experiencing homelessness. And that concept of the mentoring, that's the teacher part of me that loves that. And then the community response and the temporary housing, that's working with the body of Christ that I love, because it's in our host churches that work together to provide the housing for our families. So did you know between April 14th, the day we first had a family join us, and December 31st, 7,000 volunteer hours were logged in at the host churches throughout our county. 7,000. And that's just an estimate. Yes. Yes. That's just an estimate, thinking 2 volunteers per hour they were at the church. I think it came out to 7,006. But a lot of churches had more than just 2 volunteers each hour. So it's just amazing that this kind of work is being done here in the community where I was born. I love seeing different denominations come together. So last week we were at Delton Community Church, well, until this morning, and starting this evening we'll be at Hastings Baptist, working together. And then starting next Sunday, Hastings Baptist will give you guys the torch, pass it on to you. And again, it's just a beautiful concept of how people can serve the Lord here in their community. I get to see God softening the hearts of our families through the volunteers and the tangible ways you are the hands and feet of Jesus to them. So many amazing stories that I can share. We've provided shelter for 8 different families, but we've provided mentoring, referrals, just a listening ear to well over 100. I think it's probably 106 right now as of Friday. Different people have contacted us, reached out to us for help. It is wonderful to be a shining light in the community for the Lord and to connect God's workers together. So I've been blessed to be a part of local and foreign missions, and I must say, local missions are harder. One reason that they're harder is because of fundraising. When churches think of missionaries, they think overseas. That's where their mind jumps to. But they don't often think of local missionaries who need support and local ministries that need their support too. Another reason it's harder is for personal reasons. It's crazy because I'm here for things. I can attend, like today, I'm going to my cousin's son's birthday party. I can go to that. In China, the best would be to be FaceTimed in. I can physically be here for holidays. I can be here for the joys and things like that. But the trouble is, it's hard because when I'm in my own familiar environment, I tend to become a little too self-reliant, thinking I can do this on my own. I don't need God for every moment like I did in China. I don't need God to go to the grocery store like I did in China. Like, it's a foolish fallacy that I get into because I'm so comfortable here. And so that's one of the ways it's harder, is because I don't have that visual reminder that I am just as dependent on God here as I was there. So the fact that I'm in my own environment, there's so many distractions here that I didn't have in China, and that's a tough thing. I have the skills, the language, the ability, the culture and cultural insights to get along without them here, is what I sometimes think falsely. I don't remember that. It's also harder because it's easier to have empathy sometimes in a place you don't understand. You know, in China, it was so obvious that they weren't raised with the advantages that we are here in the States, the freedoms that we have, the education that's right at our fingertips. It was really obvious there. And so sometimes it was easier to have more empathy for the people I was living around there than it is here. Because their behaviors, their attitudes, their habits could be passed off as just, they didn't have the advantages I did. But here, it's hard to have that too. So pray for local missionaries. They really need it. Pray for local missions. So I don't know what the next pages of this chapter have for me. I know it's to stay in Hastings for a while. In 69 days, I'll be getting married. So that'll be really exciting with this wonderful man. Praise God. So I'm excited to start that new chapter, and just 11 days ago, we closed on a house a block from here. I don't know which direction I'm in. So anyway, it's really clear that God is having me stay here now, and again, it's just all the glories to Him as He has led me literally around the globe and back to where I started. So no matter where I am, I pray that I will always be dependent on him. I pray that I would always have a willing heart to serve him, to be like Isaiah, here I am, send me, right? I pray that I would always look for how he's moving and how he's arranging details in my life, and that I would be ready to just jump on board with it. God, where are you moving? I want to join. And I pray that I would always see how he's weaving together the plan he has for me. So I want to thank you so much for this time to share. It's just an honor to reflect on God and what he's done and what he's doing. And I'm so thankful for the community here. What you guys are about to do 7 short days from now, opening your doors, your lives, your hearts to our families, it's making a huge, huge impact. I have a really exciting thing to share that one of our moms that was with us since the beginning of September, she was just housed last week, and she is overwhelmed by all the ways she's been blessed through our churches and their volunteers. Everything from just people listening to her. God just really, he had her in a certain church at a certain time for a certain thing. For example, one time she was in a car accident. The church that she was at, the coordinator was a nurse. So the coordinator, went to the ER with her and was there with her. Another time she had another medical emergency, and there was a doctor who was volunteering that night. A doctor. Like, God just arranged it. And he was able to help her. It's just so impactful to see. Her son joined a youth group at one of the churches that had hosted them. And as soon as she gets settled, she's decided which host church she wants to keep attending every Sunday. It's just beautiful. And this was a woman who really didn't have much of a desire to have God in her life before. So I thank you for loving her, for caring for her, and for the two families that are coming to you next week. So I'm praying for your preparations. I'm praying for all that you're doing, and I'm so deeply grateful for it. Thank you for being a part of God's story in their lives. Thanks. Amen.